This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour. Here we are in the spring already, and seems like the year is going to be gone before we know it, as usual. I want to welcome in today my guest John Palatiello and John J.B. Byrd. Thanks for joining me today, guys.
Good morning, Kurt. Thanks for having us.
Hey, Kurt, good morning.
I assume your year is going as fast as mine seems to be.
It's May already?
It is. And, you know, one of the things that Trish and I were just talking here in the office the other day was we've been away from our joint conference now for a couple of weeks at least, and it just was such a blur. The whole planning process was a blur, and but that's kind of the way things are these days. Everything comes and goes. And for the audience's sake, John is John Palatiello is John Palatiello and Associates, and John Byrd is our, make sure I get this correct, our registered lobbyist. Is that the right term, John?
Yes, that's correct.
For NSPS.
So the way that we divide the labor is that our firm represents NSPS before Congress and federal agencies, and I provide overall strategic consulting, and JB is our registered lobbyist before Congress.
The thing we're going to talk about for the most part today is our recent joint conference that NSPS and MAPS sponsored. And, you know, John, we've probably talked about this somewhere along the way, but for the benefit of those who may not have heard us before, might be a good idea to recap a little bit how this whole idea came up, and based on the fact that we've now done it one time, if we can talk about at some point, you know, what that portends for the future. But maybe you could talk a little bit about all we went through to even get to the point of holding this conference.
Well, this conference was a confluence of really three different trends or ideas that had been shared with you and I, Kurt. One is when my firm became the Federal Government Affairs Consultant to NSPS, NSPS had been conducting a Hill Day or Lobby Day, what we in Washington call a fly-in, where folks from across the country fly in and go and visit their congressmen and senators. But historically, NSPS had been doing that in the fall, and we made the observation that that was not the optimal time to do that, because Congress operates, each Congress is a two-year period after each congressional election. And if you go in the fall, in the first year, you already have a year behind that Congress, and they're starting to transition into an election year, so all of the major legislative decisions, many of them at least, have been made. And then if you're there on the second year, Congress is usually in recess and home and campaigning. So we had made a recommendation to move it to the spring. For over 20 years, MAPS, the Association of Private Sector Geospatial Firms, that we also manage, and MAPS and NSPS have always worked very closely on a number of things. MAPS has long had a spring federal programs conference that includes a day on Capitol Hill. And so both organizations thought the idea of doing that together and expanding the number of surveying and mapping professionals visiting Congress, talking about a common legislative agenda, would be a very desirable and effective thing to do. So that was factor number one. Number two was, you may recall better than I, Kurt, when the last time was that NSPS had a national conference. I know you went through a couple of different iterations, partnering with some of the regional conferences, surveying conferences. I know at one time you did a summit with ESRI, but it had been well over a decade, probably maybe almost 20 years since NSPS or its predecessor ACSM had a national conference. And there were firms, particularly those that desire to exhibit at a conference, they had that desire for a national conference. And third, in MAPS, we had been hearing from folks about a proliferation of too many conferences, too many exhibiting opportunities, a desire to do things jointly between organizations. And there is an exhibition in Europe called InterGeo. And a number of firms had expressed an interest in moving towards a U.S. version of InterGeo. So those three factors came together, and you and I started a conversation on behalf of our respective boards of directors and began exploring the feasibility of a joint conference between our two organizations and setting a foundation and see if we can build on that and turn it into something very meaningful for both of our organizations and both of our members. And that's that's what we did on, was it April 13th through 16th?
Right. And just to follow up, the last really what I would refer to as a national conference where we incorporated with other entities outside of our realm, we, as you said, we've held some conferences with some of our state groups, and we were just kind of a tag-along on that ESRI thing. But the last time we really did a big conference was the one with ASPRS and FIG back in 2002, so it's been quite a while. And, of course, we did some research going into this, you and I, and contacted a lot of different organizations, and I know you wrote up a really nice piece on what we call Collaboration, the Map to the Future, I believe was the title of it. And my recollection is we had a number of people express an interest in doing something like this, but timing wasn't our friend in this particular case because, as you and I both know, a lot of organizations that hold bigger conferences typically have to plan way ahead, or they tend to, whether they have to or not. So from my take on it was, okay, a lot of other people have expressed interest. Maybe we can grow this thing, but if we don't start somewhere, we'll just keep talking. And so coming to the conclusion that NSPS and MAPS would sort of step out on the limb here and try this and see what we could accomplish was what got us there.
If you'll recall, Kurt, there were about three or four things that you and I did in the due diligence phase to look at whether a conference was practical and feasible. Number one, if you'll recall, both MAPS and NSPS are members of a coalition called COGO, the Coalition of Geospatial Organizations. And we took this idea to COGO and actually got a very good, very favorable response. But as you indicated, many of those organizations said, we're already committed to our own spring conference for 2015, but in the future we would have an interest in participating if this should become an annual event. Number two, we recognize the fact that a number of federal agencies have their own conferences of one type or another, and we reached out to a number of the agencies with which both MAPS and NSPS work on a regular basis, and asked them if they would have an interest and would they co-locate their own meeting or conference with ours. The third is we went out to a number of the firms that we thought would be potential exhibitors and asked them, what do you think of this concept? Would you exhibit? Would you support it? Is there a need for something like this? And everything came back very positive. And so while other associations were not in a position to join with us, we did end up having the National Geodetic Survey, the USGS, and the Department of Homeland Security participate with us in conferences. And we made the determination that it was practical, it was feasible, there is a desire for this, and that if that MAPS and NSPS could start something with just the two of us and hopefully establish that foundation. And I think in that regard, it was a success.
Yeah, I would agree. And I don't know if it was fortunate are only fortunate, or if this is something that maybe a different element of what I'm going to talk about might happen each year. But I know from the NGS perspective, they were rolling out their new plan for 2022, and of course the 3DEP program was sort of on the burner there for USGS, and then of course Homeland Security. I think most of their meeting was about public-private partnerships, I think. Is that correct?
With regard to access to different types of data, and particularly the ways to more effectively use licensed geospatial data as opposed to the government collecting it or owning it and just using data that ultimately goes into public domain, since that business model of selling a license to geospatial data is relatively new and not fully embraced in the government, Homeland Security felt that it was it would be helpful to air what the options were there, what the policy differences may be, and how that business model might work better. And so, yes, we had three very successful federal agency forums, summits, stakeholder meetings, and the like at our conference.
Right, and I would hope that we'd be able to continue that. I felt as though collectively they all contributed quite well to our conference and really fit what we here at NSPS were hoping to do, and that was create something that wasn't just a place where people go and sit in a classroom to get their continuing education credits, but they're going there to learn things that might not show up in a continuing education credit environment. And I thought that worked out pretty well.
Well, I thought, number one, and we'll get into more detail, and this is where JB will be able to add a lot to our conversation. We'll come back to this in a moment. But number one, I thought it was enormously effective to have both of our memberships, MAPS and NSPS, go to Capitol Hill together. You know, strength in numbers. We covered much more of the country than either of us had previously on our own. So in that regard, I think that was a singular success. Secondly, I think the feedback from our respective boards was very favorable, that the sort of the cross-fertilization, getting surveyors and photogrammetrists and hydrographers and remote sensing folks and UAV folks and LIDAR folks all together was very favorable. For example, we had a joint meeting of the NSPS Private Practice Committee and the MAPS Surveying Forum. And
that's a good place to stop, John. We're at our first break, so
okay.
When we come back from the break, maybe we can talk about that meeting, because I agree with you. I thought that was a great idea, and the reports I heard were good. So let's talk about that when we come back.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's schonstedt.com.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with John Palfillo and J.B. Byrd today talking about a conference in general, but more specifically, we want to talk about what we were able to accomplish with our Hill Day or Lobby Day, whichever people choose to call it these days. But you were talking, John, just before the break about getting our private practice folks, committee folks together with your folks, and that was kind of a first. So maybe you can talk to our listeners about that.
Yes, I thought it was an extraordinarily productive meeting and, quite frankly, a historic meeting. I think we probably had 30 or 40 people in the room. And it started out a little bit like a junior high school dance where you had more conventional or traditional surveyors on one side and folks that are in some of the other disciplines on the other side. And there was a discussion about the state licensing laws and the NCEES model law and who should be licensed and who doesn't need to be and what outcomes or activities or services fall within the definition of surveying and which ones do not. And when that conversation ended, there was a very strong consensus about where as a unified profession we might want to go. The conversation then turned to the issue of workforce development and the future of the profession and attracting young people to choose a career in surveying and mapping in the geospatial world, if I can use that broader term. And again, there was a common interest, a common concern, and some common ideas on what can be done to resolve that. So that meeting could have gone on. That could have been a conference in and of itself, but it was a very productive meeting. And I think everyone came away thinking, you know, we have much more in common than may divide us. Quite frankly, there was actually a conference session earlier that day and another one later in the week about changes in the profession, what is surveying, what should the definition be, what technologies are infringing on the more traditional practice. And it was just a very good, high-level, professional, cooperative discussion of issues facing the profession. So I thought that was very healthy. And I heard from both MAPS and NSPS members that being together at the same conference really fostered a lot of those discussions. There are a lot of people who are doing business with one another, but the nature of their relationship is telephone and email, and they've never met one another face-to-face, shaken the other person's hand, looked the other person in the eye, and there are a lot of acquaintances and relationships that were personalized as a result of this conference. So I think those are all very healthy things that came out of it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that very instance itself lays some groundwork for us as we try to move on and perhaps convince some of the other folks we talked about early on in the show today to come and join us. Having that type of discussion, the face-to-face with people, rather than I'm over here and you're over there and you know, lobbing across the wall, if you will. So I would agree. I think that was a great way to kick things off and have a forum opened up where anybody in our whole realm can be a part of that discussion. So I would agree.
Well, we also had a meeting of the NSPS Executive Committee and the MAPS Board, and the outcome
Correct.
Of that meeting was a desire to continue this in some manner and form. And I know the MAPS Board is committed to that. You may want to comment on whether there were any formal agreements or motions adopted or similar action by the NSPS, now called the Board of Directors, I guess, correct? No longer the Board of Governors?
And, yeah, well, we've always had a Board of Directors. It just includes the people who used to be the Board of Governors. So
right.
With our joint membership program, yeah, that's true. And there was discussion about that, and there wasn't any formal thing written out or voted on or anything like that. There was a sense of we think this is something we want to continue to pursue, but no actual motion was taken. Another thing you might mention before we get into the Hill Day thing, one of the things that I thought was extremely good was our luncheon speaker.
We had a real first-class keynote luncheon session. Our guest speaker was Mr. Jim Williams, who is the director of the Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration Office at the Federal Aviation Administration. His presentation to a joint MAPS NSPS luncheon was about a week and a half before the deadline for the submission of public comments on the proposed rules on commercial small, lightweight, low-altitude UAS in the national airspace. And I thought he gave a very good overview of the issues, of what FAA is looking at, what they really wanted public input and comment on, things where they were not yet 100% confirmed in their mind on which way to go. And I was very, very impressed by the quality of questions from our members. I thought it represented a very deep and high level of knowledge on UAS. So both on the surveying side and the mapping side, there's a lot of excitement about UAS. A lot of people are spending a lot of time trying to understand it and do their research to get into the business. And I just thought it was a very timely and informative and first-class luncheon session.
You know, one other thing I'll mention real quickly, I know as a matter of fact, we're going to have something in the newsletter this week, I think, a link from that NGS summit, a review of that and some information that came from that particular session that our listeners could go and take advantage of that information, because that's a pretty big one in all of our world, how the new datums are coming along. I know it's a few years away, but as we were saying in the beginning of the show, a few years will be tomorrow. And so hopefully we'll have that kind of information coming from all of our gatherings. And I don't know, I know you were dealing more directly with the USGS folks on their 3DEP presentation, but I think we've had links to that information in the newsletter already, too.
We have, and back to the UAS issue for a moment. NSPS did file comments. They are on the NSPS website. We were generally supportive of the draft rule, but had some revisions that we recommended that would continue to ensure safety, but yet enable our profession to get engaged and operate using a UAS. So we did offer those recommendations in our comment as well.
Well, I think I'm trying to think to myself if I've left out anything. The only other thing, I guess, that we should talk about in terms of the overall conference is just to make sure we thank those folks who did come and exhibit with us this time. You know, for us and for them, it was a bit of an experiment that we were trying to see how this was going to work, but those folks stuck right with us, and I think we got some good feedback from them for moving forward, how things that we liked, things we didn't like, all those kind of things. But I just want to make sure that they understand how much we appreciate them.
Well, the website that we created for the conference, which is surveyingandmapping.net, I believe, is still up, and we're posting some post-conference information on it. So we're going to try to keep it fresh and keep it updated and use that as a way of not only posting information about this year's conference, but also providing folks information on any future conference. But on that are the folks that were exhibitors, the companies that were exhibitors, the companies that were sponsors of events, and you're absolutely correct. We would not have been able to hold the successful conference that we did without them. Two other things that are important about how this conference was different, particularly from NSPS perspective. One was, you had made a point that was just excellent from the very beginning, Kurt, and that was the state surveying organizations do a great job of providing continuing education for their members. And as states have legislated continuing education requirements for licensed surveyors, the states have really developed outstanding programs, and there was no need for NSPS at the national level to try to duplicate or compete with that. But we thought that doing a conference that provided an overall higher-level national perspective of sessions and papers and presentations, that there was a niche that we could fill that was different than what the states were doing. And I think we made a good start. And if we do, when we continue this conference, we'll try to enhance that. But finally, the other point is that over recent years, NSPS has had, in lieu of a national conference, more of a leadership conference. And everyone's days were filled with attending board meetings and committee meetings to do the business of NSPS. And what we tried to do with this conference is add more value to that and offer something beyond that. So that keynote luncheon that we mentioned, an exhibit hall, presentations and sessions and discussions of issues affecting the profession, and then, of course, the Hill Day, which we'll get to in a moment. Those were all different than what has been the recent tradition for NSPS. And I think, again, that we were successful in providing additional value and something new and different in terms of professional enrichment, professional development for the leaders of our organizations and our membership at large.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things we tried to do was to schedule committee meetings and those type of things in a more staggered way rather than, as you said, kind of lock people up in a room for two or three days and give our leadership time to go take part in other things. And that's something we hadn't really done before as well. But the one thing we did do this time that we've done before and turned out very successfully again was to hold our student competition as part of the event. And not only was it good from the perspective we were able to have the teams all there, but we were able to allow the students some time if they wanted to stay after the competition and see the exhibits and participate, you know, go to the other sessions. And so I think there was some value added there for our student groups as well. And for the first time, we had a two-year program involved. Hopefully, we'll have more two-year programs in the future. But this was our first time of including two-year programs in the competition in a separate group, not against the four-year schools. But that from our perspective, worked out really well too. So here we are, believe it or not, at our second break. So let's go to that, and when we come back, we can let JB talk to us about our Hill Day. So let's go to break, and we'll be right back again.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your 6-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your 6-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty?
Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back for our next segment with John Paltiello and J.B. Byrd. We're talking about the joint conference that NSPS and MAPS held recently and trying to let people know what took place. And we've talked about things we did differently and lessons we learned and where we're going to go ahead moving forward. And so, John, if you can lead off with, let's start talking about how our Hill Day worked out and some of the things leading up to Hill Day. I know we had a packed dinner that we did before the night before.
Well, I do want to acknowledge the great work that John Byrd, JB, did in helping with this conference and particularly the Hill Day activities. We had an enormous number of visits to congressmen and senators. We had a packed dinner, and that was, again, it was joint between MAPS and NSPS. We had Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado, Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, and Congressman Raul Labrador of Idaho as our guest speakers before and after the dinner. And that was a very special event. MAPS has long had something called the Inner Circle, which is a certain level of annual contribution to the MAPS PAC. And this year, the NSPS PAC launched something similar called the Jefferson Club. And that is for individuals who contribute $500, personal contribution, to the NSPS PAC. And so the members of the NSPS Jefferson Club and the MAPS Inner Circle were the invited guests in recognition of those contributions to their respective PACs.
That brings up a really good thing, John. I was just going to say, I'll interrupt really quickly and say that's a great answer for our Parker Davis Quick Stakes contest this week. The first person who repeats the answer to the question through email to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com will be our winner today. So the question will be, and you've already given the answer, but you can give it again, what's the name of the new donor category created by NSPS?
And the answer is the Jefferson Club.
Jefferson Club is the answer we'll be looking for today. Sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to get that in while we were talking about it. So go ahead and continue talking about the club and the dinner.
So it was a wonderful dinner at the Capitol Hill Club on Capitol Hill, right one block from the Capitol Building, right next door to the House Office Buildings. Just a wonderful, wonderful dinner. Great conversation about not only national issues, but some very specific surveying and mapping issues. And it was just a great opportunity for some of our members to get together with members of Congress on a very casual, personal level and exchange thoughts and ideas. And then on Wednesday morning, what we did that was different was everyone went to Capitol Hill, and JB was successful in securing a room in the Congressional Office Buildings, and we were very honored to have Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona speak to us, and then it was a real treat to have the chairman of the House Small Business Committee, Congressman Steve Shabbat from Cincinnati, Ohio, who gave just a wonderful talk, very focused on issues that are of concern to our members, things like government competing with private enterprise, the Davis-Bacon Act, increasing the opportunity for small business to compete for federal contracts. It was very well-researched and very thoughtful presentation to us, and all of that was JB's good work. I think we need to include JB in the conversation, Kurt.
We've held him off for 2.5 segments here, John. We got to get him.
This was an extraordinarily successful joint effort, and I think JB has some facts and figures to go over about about what we were able to accomplish. So why don't we let him give us a little rundown of the fruits of his extraordinary labor on behalf of MAPS and NSPS.
I appreciate that, John. And thanks again, Kurt. So we had a very, I think, productive day, and it was kind of a culmination of making sure that NSPS members were well-prepped prior to their Hill visits. And I think we've, like as John alluded to, we've had a lot of good stats to report on. We had roughly 196 registered for the conference itself, of which about 122 professionals were committed to go to the Hill as part of the Wednesday Hill visits. And I'm happy to report that we had at least 182 visits for Capitol Hill itself. We had a pool of about 39 states, which gives us about reach to 78 Senate offices, and the remaining visits were to House members. So no doubt about it, the voice of the profession was heard on Wednesday, April 15th. Basically, what we heard from a lot of NSPS members throughout the day, and then especially afterwards, is that they were completely prepped for what the four issues were, and what the value of that was is that several of them came back to me and said, the staff that we met with had 10 to 15 visits that day, and we were one of those visits per office. And that's the importance of these meetings and these outreach opportunities, is that in order for the profession to be heard, this whole process really does begin with constituencies. And each professional surveyor is a constituent of some member of Congress or senator. And so the four issues that we basically did two webinars on and then did a prep session the day prior to going to the Hill, first up was private sector utilization. The second issue was the Federal Land Inventory Bill, known as the FLARE Act. The third issue was pipelines and underground infrastructure opportunities. And then the final issue was an appropriations request for the USGS 3D Elevation Program, known as 3DEP. So if you bear with me, I'll just go right down the list of what kind of outcomes we received so far. First up, within 2 weeks of the private sector utilization issue paper being provided on the Hill, Senator John Thune of South Dakota and Congressman Jimmy Duncan of Tennessee introduced the Freedom from Government Competition Act. That was introduced actually last week on Tuesday, April 28th, and as a result of NSPS members and the delegation visits, the House bill was introduced. It's H.R. 2044. It currently has 17 House co-sponsors. Senator Thune's bill is S-1116, and we have currently two Senate co-sponsors. So, again, the outreach, now that we actually have a bill number in both the House and the Senate, that was an opportunity for Senator Thune and Mr. Duncan of Tennessee to then, again, move forward with introduction with some good positive numbers. Instead of just being joint introducers, they now have a good, solid working group of co-sponsors. And that, again, was a major benefit of having NSPS's voice heard on the Hill. Next up is the Federal Land Asset Inventory Reform Bill, known as the FLARE Act. We were able to generate interest enough to get seven commitments to co-sponsor the House bill as soon as it gets introduced by Congressman Ron Kind of Wisconsin. And we also received word from Mr. Kind's staff of Wisconsin that he has been contacted by at least one Senate office that is looking closely at sponsoring a Senate companion bill. And that would not have happened had a certain state not been visited by NSPS members. So there was great exposure on the Hill. The message did get through, and most importantly, congressional staff listened, heard, and they are actually acting on what the request was made by NSPS members. So that was that's very good news to report. We do know that Congressman Kind is moving forward, and will soon introduce the House bill And so behind the scenes, that is something that we're working on, is to make sure that the Senate office does follow through. Excuse me, I've had a raspy voice this morning. I guess allergies are finally hitting. And so we are trying to follow up with the Senate office to make sure that they follow through and not only take this interest, but really take action now. Excuse me, the third issue is the corridor underground utility issue. In other words, the pipeline issue and making sure that more surveying and mapping opportunities to really precisely geolocate or locate where underground infrastructure is, to make sure that we prevent loss of life and property, among other things. So we are working closely with Congressman Jackie Speier of California. And so one of the asks was made of NSPS members was to look for co-sponsors of the Speier bill. And we did receive five commitments to co-sponsor the Speier bill in the House. And we did get, one very strong commitment to introduce a Senate companion bill. But more importantly, as a result of an NSPS member visit, I heard directly from a Senate office that they are looking very seriously at introducing the Senate bill. So potentially, as a result, we might have two senators take the lead on a companion bill in the Senate to Representative Speier's leadership in the House. The final issue, again, is the USGS 3D Elevation Program, or 3DEP. And a result of, again, the NSPS visits on April 15th, one of the asks for 3DEP funding is that because 3DEP is based in USGS, but at least two other agencies also, we know, are working the elevation data issues very closely, we decided to branch this out into three subcommittees so that not only was the Interior Department the subcommittee that funds Interior in USGS, but we also reached out to DHS and FEMA, as well as USDA and NRCS. So our ask, quite frankly, was to have any appropriator and or authorizer reach out to the Appropriations Committee and commit to contacting leadership and staff of those subcommittees that fund USGS, that fund FEMA, or fund NRCS, and ask that 3DEP be a priority so that an enhanced elevation data collection opportunity and as a follow-up to the President's leadership on 3DEP, that be heeded and to really ask for a robust funding level for 3DEP for nationwide LIDAR and elevation data collection program. So to sum up, quite frankly, again, the voice of surveyors and the profession was heard. We almost hit 200 congressional offices when all was said and done. And quite frankly, looking forward to next year, I really do think we should aim to have 100 senators visited next year, which means that obviously all 50 states could be a good mark for us to set heading into next year. So again, we hit about 80 states, and 100 we think should be a good place to target for next year.
That sounds good, and right on time to go to break. So let's go to our last break.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, Get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's QUIKSTAKE.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quickstakes today.
Want to know if your Schonstedt locator is still under warranty? Go to Schonstedt.com and click on Warranty Finder in the lower left-hand corner. Enter your six-digit serial number, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Out of warranty? Click on Repair Department. But here's a tip. Before sending it in, pick up a $25 discount by going to Specials and Sales under the Buy Now tab at www.schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back for our final segment with John Palatello and J.B. Bird. Thank you, J.B., for that wrap-up on Hill Day. I don't know if you want to follow up on that because we had to go to the break there kind of abruptly, but you're welcome to do that if you'd like.
Maybe just a quick 20 seconds about how this was a success story, and it needs to be ongoing as part of a process. So, as John mentioned earlier about the NSPS pack, the Hill visits, and certainly opportunities for continued follow-up with not just members of Congress, but also their staff in Washington, D.C., or back in the states in the respective congressional districts. So, by all means, we have two locations on the NSPS website and the National Surveying and Mapping website for more information about the issues. The issue papers are still posted under the Issues tab of the Surveying and Mapping Conference website, so we encourage you to do that. And if anyone's looking for any additional information, just please feel free to follow up with me directly. Thank you.
And one of the things, John and JB, that I want to stress is that We tout the fact that one of the major elements of our joint membership program with our states to get more surveyors in the country to be part of NSPS was really all about advocacy and building our advocacy base. We talk about the economics, and everybody knows we didn't do that to make big money, obviously, but that's why I think what you just talked about, JB in particular, is such an important element of trying to push NSPS forward further than we've ever been before, and using these opportunities to build on and finding ways to get more of our membership more directly involved in our advocacy. Because, as I said, the idea that with going from 3,000 members to 16 or 17,000 obviously means you have more people who have opportunities to reach out to their legislators, and we have a broader field to play in, so to speak. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to, together, our team here at NSPS and you guys working with us, to capture more of those folks that are now in our membership and make them part of our advocacy team, whether it be coming to Hill Day. Hopefully that will be the case, but certainly even back home on the grassroots level, because you guys have pointed out so many times, quite often that's really a good place to reach out to folks. So I'm very hopeful, based on what took place, that we've begun to build that opportunity for more people to participate.
Well, you're absolutely right, Kurt. This is John Palatiello. One of the things that we've emphasized is that government relations is a process. It's not an event. It is, while it's great for folks to come to D.C. and participate in Hill Day and go and visit their congressmen or senators, that's just one small part of it. Contributing to the PAC is another part of it. Developing a relationship with your congressman or senator, seeing him or her when they're back home is another part of it. Writing to them on issues affecting your profession is another part of it. So it is about building a relationship and building some recognition, not only for the individual member but for the profession. And one of the things that I would add about the day that we had on April 15th is There are other sort of spin-off benefits. We got a number of inquiries from members wanting to know what the status of the Davis-Bacon issue is and offers to be helpful if we need that help. I'm talking about from members of Congress. We had to narrow our issues because there are so many that could potentially be brought to Capitol Hill, but we had to narrow it to four because we think that's more efficient. But, for example, in the past, NSPS has been very active on the issue of prison industry competition. And there is now a federal prison industry reform bill, H.R. 1699. It has a number of co-sponsors. It's a bipartisan bill. And it has two important provisions in it to NSPS. One is it says that prisoners should not have access to certain types of individual personal data, like an address, and prisoners should not have access, for example, to information about our critical underground infrastructure. And the bill also has a provision saying that prison industries cannot enter the commercial market to provide products and particularly services. So, and we had members of Congress who were asking about our interest in that. So there are, the Hill Day was a great way to get members of Congress to focus on a variety of issues affecting the profession, and it just heightens the awareness in Congress of what surveying and mapping and geospatial is, that there are real live people out there practicing in the profession and contributing to the quality of life of Americans every day, and that there are issues related to that profession that Congress needs to address. So kudos to JB, did a great job putting together the Hill Day. I'd have to say there are other members of your staff and mine, Kurt, that also put in a lot of hours to make it a success, but it has an effect. And the statistics that JB mentioned about co-sponsors and members of Congress expressing an interest in introducing legislation, those are all the dividends from our members being up there on April 15th.
I think it would be safe to say from the NSPS side that the immediate results, not to mention the long-term ones we'll see later, but the immediate results from this particular Hill Day far exceed anything we've ever done before.
Well, and I would say from the MAP side the same thing right back at you. Again, the strength in numbers, the camaraderie, sort of the cross-fertilization between the two disciplines, those were all positive. And I heard from a lot of MAPS members who said, yeah, this was great. You know, I know this surveyor, or I knew him by name, and to go to the Hill with him or her was a great experience. And so I think everyone appreciated it all the way around.
You know, one thing that we didn't mention earlier on that I found the I was only involved in one day of this because I was there sort of introducing speakers. But I was really impressed with the general sessions that we had and the dialogue that took place during those general sessions once people sort of made a presentation. And again, that was another attempt to provide more opportunities for all of our attendees to be involved in. These were really more, I won't say one-on-one, but certainly very interactive, at least the ones I was in.
Well, Kurt, in the statistics, first of all, that JB espoused a few moments ago, what that did not account for was that there were meetings that were put on by or on behalf of government agencies where there was not a registration fee. And so we had a total of over 400 people through the Hilton Hotel during the course of those 4 days for the conference. So it was, just in terms of numbers, it was a great success. But the program that you mentioned, we had some excellent papers or presentations on things like UAVs, on the market. POB Magazine is doing a market study, and they had a chance to present. XYHT did a session on the future of surveying. We had sessions on locating underground infrastructure. We had sessions on LIDAR. We had sessions on UASs. We had sessions on the what is surveying. And they were all very robust, very provocative, stimulated to some great discussion. And most importantly, I think people in the audience learned something from those. So when you and I get together and talk about where we go from here, I think there's a lot more that we can do in those sessions to provide even more value to our members in those papers and presentations.
Yeah, speaking of our media partners, you might want to mention the, I don't know if it's still ongoing or they have collected all their data yet on the thing POB is doing on the...
Yes, I believe it is now closed, Kurt, but POB Magazine is doing a very comprehensive market study of the surveying, mapping, and geospatial community. They're going to look at total revenues, breakdown by different vertical client sectors, and a variety of other information. And then ultimately, they will be publishing in July the POB Top 100, which is to surveying and mapping what the ENR 500 is to engineering, where they are going to attempt to identify by revenue or number of employees the top 100 surveying and mapping firms in the community. And both of our organizations, MAPS and NSPS, participated in encouraging our members to complete that online questionnaire. And I think it'll be important to the community to have that data. So it's a great project. I'm glad POB is doing that.
Yeah, and you know, the XYHT guys had, I think they had a team of maybe 5 or 6 people in one of the general sessions, and that went really well too. There was a lot of interaction. They presented a lot of different points. For the first time that I can recall, we also had Joe Paiva from GeoLearn there doing some social media work for us, and we're still utilizing that and getting information out to people. So that was kind of exciting for us because it was sort of a new thing for NSPS at least. So all of these elements that we've been talking about, there's so many things that were brand new or at least improved so much that they were like brand new, like what we did for the Hill and those type of things, that we're just really excited about the conference and what it leads forward to, and I think gives us collectively a springboard to move ahead and hopefully draw in some of the other geospatial entities to be part of it as we move ahead, because I think the broader we get, the better overall we'll all feel that we're talking to each other and being part of something that's common to us all. So I'm excited for the future. I think we have a lot of good potential moving ahead.
I would agree.
So we've got maybe a couple of minutes left, or maybe just over a minute left. I don't know if there's anything I've left out, John, that we need to talk about, or JB, if we've brushed over anything too quickly. But I do want to thank you both for being with me today to talk about this and to share your perspectives on how the conference went and looking forward to where we want to go in the future and hopefully expanding this. And I would like to see us be able to create a huge national conference for our entire industry. And if we had a small part in initiating that, then I think that's something to be proud of.
I would agree. It was great working with you on the conference. We'll have to get together and talk about where we go from here, but I hope that the feedback and this discussion will pique the interest of more of our members, and that we'll see them here in the Washington area sometime around this time of the year next year.
Yep, I hope so too. Well, again, thank you both for being with me today. It's been a great hour, and we'll be talking soon. Thanks.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.